They entered the pines when it was midday. Horty raced ahead until he found the stream. He ran toward it, turning his head to shout,
"This is the place, chaps! Ha ha! Wait till I tell you what old Bragg did to a gang of bullying reptiles last night! He gave them the tousing of their lousy lives! He..."
Without paying attention, Horty had run full head-on into a thick, low pine branch. He was laid flat out, unconscious. Sorrow ran to him and lifted his head.
"Stone cold senseless. That makes two we got to nurse now. Why didn't the lop-eared galumpa look where he was going?"
The remainder of the afternoon was spent beside the stream. Springald looked after her two friends, whilst the older pair went foraging for food. It was so pleasant in the shade of the tall pines. Besides tending the invalids, the mousemaid had time to paddle and wash in the stream. It was a cool and peaceful spot, with sunlight and shadow dappling everywhere. Fenner was recovering nicely when Bragoon and Sorrow returned. The two old campaigners brought with them wonderful chestnut-coloured mushrooms, wild onions, dandelion buds, and a variety of edible roots and berries. Bragoon was heartened by the sight of the squirrel maid.
"Feeling better, eh, beauty? Well, we can't light no cooking fires in a pine forest like this. Tis too risky. Do you fancy a nice salad, miss?"
Fenner watched the otter chopping everything finely with his sword blade.
"Salad would be perfect, thank you."
The moment the aroma of freshly cut food assailed his senses, Horty revived.
"Oh, goody. I say, you chaps, please pass the salad. Ouch! Me flippin' bonds is splitting. Can you see any of me brilliant young brains leaking out, what?"
Fenner could not stifle a giggle.
"Oh, poor Horty, you've got a lump like a boulder right twixt your ears. I'm sorry for laughing, it must be very painful."
The young hare winced when he touched the large swelling.
"Painful ain't the word, Fen, old girl. It's abso-belly agonistic full. Don't think I last the day out, actually. Don't shed too many bitter tears when I turn me paws up and peg out. 'Twas all done bravely in the line of duty, what?"
Sorrow inspected the injury.
"It looks like a duck egg growing out of your skull. Don't worry, though, you'll live. I've got just the thing for that. Sit still and eat your salad while I go and make a poultice."
She spent some time at the stream gathering certain things and soaking them in the water. On her return, the ageing squirrel tore strips off a cloak for binding. Horty pulled back apprehensively.
"Don't hurt a dying young beast in his final moments. Be merciful, ma'am."
Bragoon held the hare's paws as Sorrow worked. She tweaked Horty's whiskers whenever he moved.
"Be still, you great ninny. This is a compress of duckweed, dock, watercress, sain foil and stream-bed mud. 'Twill do you a world of good."
When she had finished, the others had to turn away their faces to keep from bursting out into laughter. Horty sat dolefully, munching salad. Atop his head sat a high turban of cloak strips, herbs and mud, secured with a tie beneath his chin. Both of Horty's ears flopped out at the sides. He glared at Bragoon, who was biting down on his lip to contain a guffaw.
"What's the flipping matter with your face, Chuckle Chops? Do you find something funny about a wounded warrior? What, what?"
The otter brought himself under control.
"Who, me? No, mate. But I wouldn't go near any bumblebees if I was you. They might be looking for a new hive."
Seeing there was no salad left, Horty rose regally and stared down his nose at the mate-struck quartet.
"Tut, tut. I shall be carrying on alone, without any aid from those I once called friends. Bunch of whinnying, witless woe-betides. Fie upon you all, say I."
He stalked off in high dudgeon, his turban dressing a wobble as he stooped to avoid branches. Fenner grasped her sides, tears of laughter rolling down both cheeks as she gasped out,
"Come on, I'm well enough to travel now. Oh, we better go along with him just in case he backs into a sharp branch and we have to tie a turban to his tail."
The pine forest was a vast area. As evening fell, it became dark, swathed in a gloomy green light. Horty was still not talking to any beast, but the urge to utter some noise was so great that he struck up a mournful dirge.
'Tis a sad, lonely life, I have oft heard it said, to go wandering about with this watch on one's head. For I travel alone, O desert and lea, why even the midges and ants avoid me. While the ones I call pals and the comrades I know all laugh till their rotten, cruel faces turn blue, there's a grin on the gob of each pitiless cad as they scoff at the plight of a poor, wretched lad. But I'll carry on bravely, I won't weep or cry, and I'll have my revenge on them all when I die. My ghost will sneak up while they're laid snug in bed, and I'll hoot spooky whoops through this thing on my head. Then they'll cry out, "Oh, haughty, forgive us, please do," as my spirit howls loudly, "Your boo sucks to you."